This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Again, I'm back for part two of a series on caring, a topic I cover a lot, and I'm sort of calling this caring is a two-way street, and by that I mean developing and enhancing your caring support teams, that is, those people back where you came from and where you are who are responsible to help you in various aspects of your work. Today I'm going to talk about creating a perfect or almost so caring support group. Wouldn't that be great if your group was just perfectly attuned to you? I don't think that that is too much of an unrealistic wish. And so I'm going to come at it from sort of two different perspectives. One, the typical perspective that you have come to recognize from me, and two, the typical unusual perspective that you may have come to recognize from me. Last week, I encouraged you to make a list of people who might be in your care group and issues that they could care for. A critical factor involved in setting up such a group is trying to do it in a way that ensures that your expectations and needs might be met as closely as possible. There's nothing subtle about what I'm going to say, because the most effective way that you can get people to do what you ask or need is to actually ask them or tell them what you need or want. Now, that's not rocket science, but it is something that I think people shy away from. They sort of feel like, well, I'm being too selfish if I tell people exactly what I need. Well, I don't think so. And if that's your attitude of feeling like people should automatically discover it on your without your telling them or on their own, then I think you're going to be disappointed quite a bit of the time. So I think there's three major points. Perhaps some of this is a review from last week. But first of all, I think you need to make very clear to the people that are caring for you who you are exactly, or who you are as close as you know, and hopefully that'll be pretty close to reality. So who are you? Well, I think it would be important if people know what kind of your likes and dislikes are, a bit about your history, a bit about your relationships, a bit about your marriage and family, if that's applicable, and enough so that they can sort of put you into their own community. You know, I mean, maybe people don't go around thinking about this, but I often think about people who live far away from me and wonder what they'd be like if they were going to a soccer game with me, or if they were at a concert or something like that. And that helps me if I know a little bit about them. For example, if I know that they like a particular kind of music, that might influence how I remember them throughout the course of my day. Oh, there's George's favorite song, for example. Now, perhaps some of your caring group may not know that much about you, but I think it's a good idea to kind of focus on what's the big picture and how can people think about you deeply throughout your day and their day. Part two of this little group of subpoints, with part one being who you are, is what you need. Now, a lot of times, again, some people have trouble with asking or telling what they actually need. I don't know why. I think we're told to cast our cares and be clear about them, but sometimes we don't with people around us. I think partially it's because that may indicate some sort of weakness, or we might open ourselves up to criticism. Well, for me, there's a difference between needs and wants, and I'm talking about needs, the basic things you need to have. So I think, for example, if you're working in an environment that is not particularly safe, you need to ask for people to be thinking about and caring for you around the issue of things that keep you safe. What are some things that keep you safe? Well, be asked that you will be vigilant and observant in your daily workings, that you might be aware if there are situations that could pop up. In some parts of the world, people are told if they're driving to avoid crowds that seem to be up ahead. So, for example, I would ask people if I was living in such an unsafe situation, that I be reminding myself to look over a block ahead so that I can stay out of danger. Maybe that's not a good example, but that's an example of a daily living issue. The third part is what you desire. Now, here's maybe where some people have a lot of trouble, but they don't feel comfortable about asking for what they desire. And I think desires are very important because that sort of gives people a window to a part of our heart that they might not see all the time. And I think it's appropriate that our caring groups know what some of our desires are, because that gives them the chance to step out of the ordinary and to surprise us. For example, some friends of mine were working in a place that had a very historic dinner theater, and it was a desire of their heart that they be allowed to get season tickets to go to that, because it gave them a chance to meet another group of people. Not only that, but it was just good enjoyment. And my group of carers that were surrounding them, we all got together and said, let's surprise them, and we got them tickets for that. They didn't expect it, but because they shared some of their desires and not just wants, life got a little bit better, and I think that's an appropriate thing. Now, I want to flip the coin to that other issue. What if you could get those who help you to help you in such a way that they help themselves? Wow, that's kind of crazy. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, sometimes the act of helping increases the helper's knowledge. And sometimes our group of carers may not know clearly about what we do, where we do it, and all the contexts. So I want my helpers, my carers, to understand more about what I do, because that will help them, I believe. So is there a way that you could help them as they care for you? This might be a little bit difficult to think about, but I think it gets at the crux of the issue of helping people to understand living and working in cross-cultural contexts that are greatly different. We have no clue sometimes, living way over here, about you way over there, and all the stuff that needs to happen. And some of it is drudgery, but it isn't all drudgery. And so what I want to do with this concept is to say, can you give them a vision that they wouldn't normally get about what it's like for you and how that would impact them and how they can grow? Because what I would like to see is when I came back to my home stomping grounds, that people said, you know what, you gave me some windows into living and working and being with other people that I normally avoid, and you helped me grow, and I thought I was just there to care for you. That's what I'm looking for. So we want you to build ahead. So my homework for you is, can you think about examples of living and working in your context that you could package in a way that as they care for you in those arenas, they learn more about how to live better here where they are? That sounds like a big task, and that sounds like a fun task. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that would be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.